When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
Home Club for details.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And if you've been to the market lately, you may have observed the hike in the prices of foodstuff. A box of tomatoes that used to sell at 1,500 cedis now sells at almost 7,000 cedis, with many traders selling one tomato for 5 cedis. A small bucket of pepper, which used to sell at 65 cedis, is now 200 Ghana cedis. In Ashanti region, Emmanuel Baikweku gauged the cost of some food items in Kumasi, where retailers and wholesalers are calling on the government to work at changing the economic fortunes of the country.
Prices of almost every commodity on the markets has seen an astronomical increase. Rice, oil, milk, whatnot.
Just this morning, I came to buy rice. When I returned to buy another, they said they have increased it by 50 Ghana cedis. The prices increase at least thrice in a day.
But they said
they promised to make things better. We have money, but we cannot buy anything. I have to add the cost of transportation to the items.
The dollar keeps increasing. And you know, most of these rice that we're selling here, they are not locally made. It's imported. And then one thing I was told to is like inflation has gone high. And then duties. Duties, I think they have increased from 11% to 20%.
And they have been telling us how the prices of commodities on the markets is adversely impacting their business. And they are hoping that the government can actually do something about it. Reporting from here at the PZ Markets in Edum, my name is Emmanuel Brightquick.
Well, the story is the same here in Accra. We've been speaking to some traders.
They say Nanka rubber near 50 cedis. So say 60.
The sack of onions used to be 700 cedis. Just this week, it is 1,200 cedis. I think this is due to the transportation cost and the depreciation of the cedi against the dollar.
Nigeria, they know from Kakra, Chen, Niger, you know. They have said dollars and also can be Nama, Nenina, so no alcohol.
Me, Tommy Bree.
I don't buy much because of the prices. The amount of money that can be used to buy the sack of pepper a few months ago can only purchase half a sack today.
Rubber near 150, and I weigh near 80, weigh 50, weigh 30. Once in so near turn to S and some money wide, Navrungunuko.
I want to bring in my colleague with the research desk, Isaac Ejay, who joins me right now in the studio with more on this. We've been monitoring a bit more on this particular matter, other foodstuff. What is it that we're learning?
Almost everything has seen an increase in price. For example, a sack of onions that used to cost just last week was 600 cedis, and today we are talking about 1,050 cedis. Now Papani also spoke about the price of other products. Now let's look at how much we are selling even pepper on the market. June last year, you could get a paint bucket. You know, what they call the paint bucket of, pepper was around 65 cedis. Now we are looking at 200 cedis. If you also look at tomatoes, which used to cost 75 cedis at the beginning of the year, now it's costing around 180 cedis. That's more than 140% rise since the beginning of the year. And other products, in fact, rice, there's also oil, which have all seen more than 100% rise in their prices.
And we've seen some research that point to the fact that this may actually get worse.
Right, so this is a research published in the International Science Journal. The title is Drivers of Drivers Shift from Crop Production to Mining Activities in Ghana and Arable Land. It was published January 24th, and some of the key findings of this research point to the fact that arable lands have been converted into artisanal small-scale mining. That's what we know as galamse. And then also food crop production now, competes with mining activities for land and labor in Ghana. And then also the fact that household size and low crop yield, positively influence participation in mining. So these are the top three findings from the research work that points to the fact that arable land servants are being converted into artisanal small-scale mining, which we call galamse.
Okay, and I want to bring in right now Charles Nyaba. He's a former executive director of the Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana. Also joining me right now is Dr. Richmond Etuahene. He's a farmer himself and a retired banker. Mr. Nyaba, let me start with you. I mean, you on the ground, you're a peasant farmer yourself, you led the association for a while. What is, from your experience, the reason why we're seeing these hikes on the market at this time?
Thank you so much. I think I listened to the report of factors that are driving the food crops. I agree partly with the indicators that were mentioned, but what was missing has to do with areas where mining or galamse is not taking place. If you take the three vegetables you mentioned, tomato, pepper, and then onions, we consistently put out that Ghana has lost its capacity to produce tomato. A majority of the tomatoes that we consume comes from Burkina Faso. Now, what made the June-May prices so high is the fact that the city lost again the CFA, because we used to go to Burkina, a place called Pool in those areas, to bring in the tomatoes. The onions, we're bringing it from Niger, Mali, Nigeria, and then the same Burkina. But for the past 2 months, you realize that CFA gained some strength. So because we have to change cities, we have to change the CFA to bring in these commodities, we need more cities to be able to bring them in. Okay, so once you bring them in addition to the transport cost, you cannot sell it at a price that is expected compared to last year. Now, local production of tomato has completely gone down. You take Navongo tomatoes, which is very popular with us. This year, the ministry tried to support farmers with seeds to produce tomatoes in the area, but the land is out. All the farmers who grew those seeds never harvested a fruit. You go to the Chiman, Tiobodom, and Ada. Last year, this time around, we're getting tomatoes from those areas. This year, too, nothing happened. Cost of production is so high. Because of the climate change, the yield itself is so bad. So all these factors led to lower supply in the Ghanaian market compared to demand. So once supply is low, in addition to transport cost, the prices obviously go up.
Dr. Richard Uchahin is a farmer himself and a retired banker. Doc, on your farm, what's happening there? What's your experience on the farm? Are you increasing what you send to the marketplace to sell?
Oh, what we're doing is that we're not increasing because we realize that the journal that published our Galamsey, I really experienced it only 2 weeks ago when I went to my wife's village. I passed through Kokofu and then the place called Bosome Frehun, then to join the Kumasi Road at Mumfa Junction, where you drive to Konomo. I had a shock in my life, and I will never, ever forget about the experience. Almost every town from Aburinkadasu something to Aswansi or something there, the whole land, right side is Galamsey, and the left side is cabbage. Can you believe it? People are digging Galamsey on the left road. I even stopped there and I started asking questions. Farmlands have been turned into Galamsey. And it looks like it's all over the place, unfortunately. And the greatest danger, if we don't stop it, that we're all going to die one day getting up and died. Because when you buy these, what I saw there, cabbage, you don't even know where it came from. But you've forgotten that it's on the left side. It's Galamsey. On the right, just across the road, somebody's cultivating it. So the Galamsey is a real issue that needs to be tackled. You see, you talk about this environmental degradation. People have forgotten that what we are doing to the Galamsey, doing to the land, is affecting the climate change. Because now, where rains and it fall on glass, now it fall on the soil, direct. So if we don't tackle it with all the alacrity and speed and stop talking about the gimmicks, the English, I'm prophesying, I'm not a prophet, but I'm going to tell you that a time will come in 2 years' time, people are going to die and die and die.
And as a farmer yourself, though, have the cost of planting, harvesting gone up?
You see, I was in the cashew farming. I mean, I was in the cocoa farming. And recently, as I visited the farm, I mean, you could not even afford to have one confidor. And to spray a farm of about 70 acres. And the sad thing is that the people who helped my farm assistant to his children, they've all left. So the man is old. He told me that the best thing is to dispose the 50-acre land and the unyielded land, possibly give it to some company so that we will leave the farming. And that is, you see, when we are talking about farming, we forgot about aging. We haven't made the farming a very, very enabling environment for youth to go in. So the aging population, whether it's in cocoa, which I know very well because I'm a typical cocoa farmer, you don't even have people to reach the cocoa for you. And the time is coming, and I prophesied this in 2022, that this year Ghana will be earning only about 300,000 metric tons. People started insulting me. But what my experience with my cocoa farm when I went there is what I'm talking about. A time is coming. Even cocoa will improve. And don't forget, even a time will come because of the arsenic content in our cocoa, it will be very difficult even to market it on international market. Because now, check at Ecuador. Ecuador is going to organic cocoa farming. And if they go to organic cereal cocoa farming, who wants to buy cocoa with that arsenic content on the land? Because you buy chocolate and you go and eat and you die. So for me, we should treat the Galamsey issue, apart from the weather condition, and all these Mr. Nyaba was saying, the climate change, it's about the way we've destroyed the environment. If you don't destroy the environment, they raise the seasons. The rain season will come in March, because my father and my mother were farmers in a way. We plant when the Hamatan comes, by March, February, the first rain comes in, we go and weed the land and we plant. But now, the rains will wait until June and May. By that time, those you have planted has waited away.
I mean, talking about rains, though, Richard Nyaba, when can we expect the harvesting season, and will that improve the prices we're seeing on the markets now? Do you expect the hike to normalize?
No, but let me just add a bit to what my good brother just said. You see, there's a trend. When you look at the middle, used to be the food basket of this nation. That's up from Ejira, Techiman, Nkwanza, Kintempo, Wenchi. All those areas, when you go there, the farmers have converted their farmlands, food crop lands, to cashew. Simply because they could not afford the cost of buying agrochemical, the cost of buying fertilizer. But for the cashew, according to them, once you are able to maintain it to grow to a certain level, you don't need to buy any farm inputs. So these are other factors that is also impacting the food production in those areas.
But will this improve when we reach a harvesting season?
No, because things will not improve. Because previously, by now, the middle belt maize would have been getting to Castling, northern part of the country. People would have planted and they are waiting for fertilizer to apply. As we speak, it is just last week that the rain started raining across all those areas and farmers are now preparing to plant. For the middle belt, majority of farmers didn't actually do the major season planting, which they call the middle belt, you have first and second planting. Because the rain didn't come on time, they are waiting to do the minor season planting. But for the northern part of the country, they are still hoping that things will normalize. But as of now, the rains hasn't come just within this week that people are now plowing. So if the trend doesn't change, for us to now get regular raining patterns without flooding around September, then we should expect some yields. But if things change and then all those factors come in, the yields are likely to be poorer than we are experiencing now.
Okay, and that there is Charles Nyaba, is a former executive director of the Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana. Earlier you heard Dr. Richmond Tiahene, is a farmer and retired banker. Kofi J is still with me. Kofi, we've also been looking at the import numbers, and Richard Nyaba started by talking about many of the items you're talking about right now. The prices that a lot of you are who are getting in touch with us are talking about are items that we import, the tomatoes, the onions, etc. The volumes are staggering.
Well, let's start from the Ghana Statistical Service own data bank, and they provide information on these import value. And so we start with pepper and other pepper products. In 2023, we had to use $3.8 million to import pepper and other pepper products into this country. Now, when you come to onions, we needed $1.8 million to import onions in 2023. Now, the biggest one advance is tomatoes and other tomato products. $36.1 million that we needed to import tomatoes and other tomato products into Ghana in 2023. This, according to the Ghana Statistical Service trade data.
The Agric Ministry has told us that they will be issuing a statement on the rise in prices of foodstuff on the market that you're experiencing. Many of you have been telling us also that it's beginning to hurt your finances.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We'll hear your thoughts, and some of you have sent us messages already on this. This from Philip in Keta. It says the commodities on the market are too expensive for Ghanaians, especially tomatoes and bakbushito. Four pieces of tomatoes is now 20 cedis. Bakbushito is 6 to 4 cedis. It says six for four. And so, therefore, what is the role of planting for food and jobs is a question that he's asking there. Philip and Keta asked that question. Some of you told us on the streets today how this is affecting your finances.
Pepper to whatever. And we can't make it. We're just struggling to buy little for the house. We have to reduce the size we eat, we take, and the size we buy to squeeze ourselves to see whether to last for us.
They reduce the quantity and they're taking you the same thing. So it's, I think it's one of the strategies of making sure that people don't complain. So I was asking him about why the numbers, they used to give me so many fingers, now it's just a few of them. Yeah.
Share your thoughts with us on this particular story. What has been your own experience on the market? 055-111-1997. Now, tonight, the finance minister and his deputy have incurred a wrath of locked-up investment holders after they failed once more to meet protesting investors who have been picketing at the ministry, demanding government's intervention to access their locked-up funds. The investors have vowed to continue their protest until they are heard. They will return to picket at the finance ministry next week, Wednesday. They want funds locked up at the NDK Finance and three other deposit-taking institutions released to them. Now listen to the convener of the group, Dr. Edwin Anienchi.
Two officials, and what they told us that there were no, the deputy minister is not there, the minister is not there, but they have been told that when the deputy minister has traveled again, the deputy minister has traveled again, he's not available. The minister is also not available. But the deputy minister has promised again that when he comes back, you have a meeting with us. I said, this is fine. Our picketing is every Wednesday. So if something positive happens, even a Tuesday before the Wednesday and something positive happens, we can just inform the police we are not picketing. But if nothing has happened, we are coming here every Wednesday.
Well, some of the investment holders share their frustrations with your news.
The incident.
It is a struggle for our survival. I'm 54 years now. I don't know how long I'm going to struggle to start life all over. So we are on this journey for our survival.
Do you mind telling us the quantum of money you have saved with them that they are feeling?
Well, it was 500,000 Ghana cedis. 500.
How long ago?
That was 2020.
For how long did you save with your institution that is failing to pay your money to you?
Some 15 years. It was money I saved every month, bits and bits. About 15 years, I've been saving with.
And how much do you think you have there right now?
I have about 6 million there.
6 million Ghana cedis?
6 million Ghana cedis. And they've frozen interest on those monies. So
wow.
It's huge money. It's so embarrassing, so confusing, and yes,
I'm wild like a lion. Many a break on.
Gentia.
Many a break on pass. Me see kapa. Me we are see kenyana.
Let's bring in the convener for the Locked Up Investment Holders Forum. Dr. Edwin Anienchi joins us on the line right now. Himself was a former head of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Dr. Edwin Anienchi, how much are we talking about? Have you assessed the quantum involved here?
No, we can't have, thank you for having me. We can't have that. Normally, you get deposited funds with any particular financial institution, when they publish their accounts, their financial statement, then they will state the deposits that they are holding. So if you don't get the financial report of that particular institution, you really know the deposits they are holding. And since we don't have the financial accounts of these institutions, you wouldn't know. But the Bank of Ghana will have that. They submit the periodic report to them, not only the financial statements, but quarterly returns are submitted to the bank.
But from your members, you can estimate that from your membership. And
it will be difficult. It will be extremely difficult.
And I'm curious, why the focus on the finance ministry? NDK, for example, is a private entity that went under.
Yes. We have explained that the Bank of Ghana is the regulator of these financial institutions. And the Act requires that when a bank or a financial institution and a specialized depository institution, they are all regulated like the bank. When they have challenges, and the Bank of Ghana determines that they are going to be insolvent, even in the next 6 months, you realize insolvent. The Act requires you to start the revocation or the resolution process. Resolution is just means it's a technical term for just dissolving, taking the appropriate action to either save the bank or liquidate the bank, so to speak. So you have to take the resolution action against the institution. But these institutions, some of them for 4 years, they have been insolvent for 4 years because NDK like this for 4 years, people cannot access their funds. And so the Bank of Ghana as a regulator has the first responsibility to work on the resolution. And when we wrote to the Bank of Ghana and suggested two options, either to give them liquidity support so that they can operate, or if you won't give them liquidity support, then revoke their licenses. The Bank of Ghana said that they are beyond liquidity support. They can't be supported. So the only thing they have to do is to revoke their licenses and pay investors. But before they do that, they must ensure that the Minister of Finance has made financial provision for them to be able to revoke the licenses and pay depositors. You recall that is what exactly happened in 2017-2018 when Bank of Ghana revoked about 23 licenses of 23 financial institutions, microfinance, savings and loans, and finance houses. And the government made provision. The Minister of Finance made provision to pay deposited funds to them. So they are waiting on the Minister of Finance to make the same provision, similar provision, so that they can revoke the licenses of these other four institutions, which are also insolvent. And mind you, the financial sector cleanup has ended. They are still in it. We just started. We haven't ended. So they are part of the financial sector cleanup. So they are expecting the Minister of Finance to make that financial provision, but the Minister has not been able to make it. And according to the Bank of Ghana, they don't want to revoke the licenses of these institutions for the next day for people, investors, to march to the Bank of Ghana and say, where do we get our money? They want to be sure that as soon as they revoke the licenses, there will be funds available so that they can direct investors as to where to go.
And that is
why they are paying the Minister of Finance to make a financial provision. And that is why we are also insisting or pressurizing the Minister of Finance to make that financial provision so that Bank of Ghana can revoke the licenses and then pay us our funds.
Which are these other three institutions apart from NDK?
We have SVC Financial Services. Then we have SIC Life Savings and Loans. And then we have Bond Savings and Loans. These are the three financial institutions, four financial institutions, plus, including NDK, that we have members complaining that they cannot access their funds. And that is where the problem is now. If there are any other institutions that people can't access their funds, we don't have their members joining us to make that complaint.
I mean, Dr. Dunanenji, please stay with me. I want to bring in the deputy ranking member on the Finance Committee in Parliament, Richard Champon. Mr. Champon, what can your committee do about this?
Iwan, thank you very much for the opportunity. my understanding of the whole issue is, you know, when those financial institutions were close up, you know, they appointed a receiver to do validation to ascertain whether or not those institutions have a list of customers and how much all the institutions are owing to those depositors or those people saving with them. So some did the validation. We gave the numbers to Minister of Finance. Minister of Finance sits on the board of BOG. And they budgeted for all these numbers so that BOG or other institutions can go ahead and assess their funds. So Bank of Ghana is the one that issues licenses for all these managed funds or these institutions to run. So if you have the right to issue licenses and at the same time have the right to revoke their licenses, meaning when they have difficulty, you have to step in and save the situation. And then by the end of the day, they present monthly, weekly, quarterly, and annual report to Bank of Ghana. So Bank of Ghana knows the number of customers each of them are holding because they present their large depositors list to them. Their 20 largest exposures, that those people who have borrowed money from them to them. And then list of defaulters to Bank of Ghana. So they have an idea what is happening in all those institutions. So before you revoke their licenses, meaning something untoward is happening. And if you don't want to have a run on the institutions, you make a provision for it because they have their primary and secondary reserves. And the secondary reserve sits with Bank of Ghana. So if anything at all, if their secondary reserve, which is a part of their investment, cannot pay off investment made by their client, you need to make up the difference because you set them up. But you can't close them down and then allow the client or the customer to suffer. And these are some of the issues, but if the committee is not petitioned to know the number of customers involved, amount involved, it will be difficult.
But do you need a formal petition before you can act? You can hold the BOG governor before you, can hold the finance minister before you and demand answers on behalf of these investors.
You know, if you put something on nothing, it will fall. We need to get the information first. How many institutions are involved? How many customers are involved? What is the quantum involved? So that when you are dealing with them, you get to know that if they have a budget for this, if they don't, going forward, how are they going to plan to pay these customers? So we need to get information from the customers or those who are involved. Based on it, then we can confront Bank of Ghana together with BOG.
Dr. Edwana Ninchu, who is a convener, is with me. Doc, you've just heard the deputy ranking member of the Finance Committee there. Will you send a petition?
Well, I think the petition has been sent to the Minister of Finance. If the Minister of Finance wants to do anything, we don't advise the Minister of Finance what to do. But you see, this was saying something about the revocation. That is the earlier one. That was licenses were revoked. But the new ones that has not been revoked, the ones that are still operating, but they cannot, and they have become insolvent. It is the Bank of Ghana that determines whether you are insolvent or not. But the Banking Act directs the Bank of Ghana that as soon as you are able to determine, even in the next 6 months, that an institution will become insolvent. That's the revocation process now. And this revocation process is what Bank of Ghana has delayed, not starting. And they say they are not starting the revocation process because they want to make sure that once they revoke the license, investors will have their money back.
You made that point earlier. His point is that they can get answers for you. You've been chasing the finance.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
He's minister for a while now. You haven't gotten anywhere with that. He says they can get that answer for you, but you need to file a petition with the committee.
So no,
the committee
see, what he's asking for, we cannot provide that information. It is only Bank of Ghana which has provided information on how many depositors, what is the amount, as he said, that the Bank of Ghana has that information. So if the finance committee can demand, request the Bank of Ghana to provide this, I don't know whether Bank of Ghana will refuse providing it, then they will have it. But we as customers or as clients will not have that information.
I mean, Mr. Champon.
My brother on the line is right, because he's a customer. So he's at himself, not the general pool. So he cannot give us the full information. But before a license is revocated, that revocation, the first instruction will be recapitalization. So they have to caution them to raise more resources to recapitalize the institution. Failure to do this, that will cause for the revocation of the license. So, like he's saying, there's another way of dealing with this so that we can get the list of customers involved. Then we have the discussion with Minister of Finance, because they will budget for it. Bank of Ghana will not budget for it. So Minister of Finance will budget for it and then leave the fund to Bank of Ghana to pay the customer, as my brother is saying, because they will not know the number of people involved.
So the solution is known. The question is, will you lead that?
Parliament will resume come Tuesday. A committee will have a discussion on this matter and see how we navigate and get this matter resolved. Because we have a lot of outstanding issues in respect of this bank financial sector cleanup. A lot of clients have not received their money. Some have not been validated and all that. So since this information is on the table for discussion, we can also sit aloof and allow government to cheat or mistreat these customers who have put their lifelong savings into this institution. So at least we need to step in and see how we can address these issues.
Thank you very much. Richard Champon is the deputy ranking member on the Finance Committee. Earlier, you heard Dr. Edona Nienchi, who is a convener of the investors group, the forum that have been protesting at the Finance Ministry for the last couple of weeks, demanding that their locked up funds be released to them. I want to bring in Mr. Shen right now, who has business. This is a subject that you guys have been following quite keenly. Now, the BOG must get involved at some point. He says, the BOG says, well, they need some a budget of the sort from the finance ministry before they will proceed then to revoke the licenses, and then the process will start for the investors to receive their funds. It sounds like a pretty complex process, but at least there's some commitment there from the ranking member that Parliament will resume and consider this. What do you have in your headlines?
Right, Evans. In business this evening, government commences review of VAT component on mineral exploration in Ghana. We'll hear from Minister for Land and Natural Resources, Samuel Abu Jinapo. And dollar demand by businesses through commercial banks slows, a move said to be contributing to the city's marginal stability over the past few days. Business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTM Business. Welcome to New World of Business, Kingdom Books and Stationery, Syntex Tank, and Pepsodent Charcoal and Herbal. Welcome back to Business on Newsnight with me, James Ishan. Let's settle for the details. And the Minister for Land and Natural Resources, Samuel Abu Jinapo, has disclosed that government is reviewing the value-added tax component of the tax build-up on the cost of exploration mining companies. He noted that the move is expected to reduce the tax burden on the exploration of natural minerals and make it more attractive to increase foreign direct investment in the sector. He has been speaking at the opening ceremony of the 2024 West African Mining and Power Conference and exhibition program.
We are, for example, working with the Ghana Revenue Authority and the Ghana Chamber of Mines under the guidance of government's economic management team to explore the best framework
for treating critical inputs such as value-added tax VAT on exploration. If properly structured, it will reduce the financial burden on exploration companies, making it more attractive to invest in exploration while safeguarding the nation's interests.
Samuel Abu Jinapo is the Minister for Lands and Natural Resources. Now to some other stories. Demand for dollars by some businesses and corporate institutions from commercial banks have reduced significantly. This is what Joy Business has picked up from some of the banks that are very active in the foreign exchange market. George Riafi has the rest of the story.
The city's depreciation against the dollar has slowed significantly over the past working days. These are seen retail price quotes. But some of these major commercial banks drop from 15 Ghana cedis 20 pesos to about 15 Ghana cedis 10 pesos. It is not clear for now what has influenced this development, but some of these commercial banks want to link to the recent measures announced by government and the Bank of Ghana to help stabilize the Ghana cedi and some progress that government is making when it comes to finally signing an agreement with the bilateral creditors on how to restructure their debts. The Bank of Ghana, on the other hand, has also stepped up supply of dollars for the market. Some of these banks also think that it has contributed to the city's performance over the past few days. We also understand that the Bank of Ghana is enforcing some administrative measures that is also impacting on the city's performance. Some market watchers, however, want to believe that speculators are slowing down on their demand. But these actions that are being implemented, the question is, are they sustainable? Or we can say that based on what has happened last week, the worst for the city is now over? Well, time will tell.
And that was George Uriafi there. Now, government says it will further engage the Bank of Ghana on key policy frameworks to ensure stability of the Ghana City. Deputy Finance Minister Abnao Seah Asare has reiterated government commitment in ensuring a robust economy through the implementation of critical policies to stabilize the city. She was speaking at a ceremony to sign a $2.1 million grant agreement between the government of Ghana and the government of Japan.
Our gross international reserves reached $6.2 billion in February 2022, covering 2.7 months of import cover, and we are expected to increase it to 4.4 months of import cover in the medium term. But for recent pressures on our exchange rate movements, the cedi's depreciation halved from 52.2% in November 2022 to 27.8% in December 2023, maintaining stability into 2024. The ministry currently is working with the Bank of Ghana to implement measures to improve the strength of the cedi against its foreign trading currencies in the medium term.
Abnao Seah Asare is a deputy finance minister. To some other stories, MTN Ghana has commenced its annual employee volunteer program dubbed 30 Days of Yellow Care, which is aimed at impacting the communities they operate in, according to Chief Executive of MTN Ghana, Stephen Blewitt. This year's Yellow Care initiative is dedicated towards bridging the digital divide in the country.
Well, the impact for society is positive because we're trying to do two things. One, we're trying to bring digital literacy. People need to understand the digital world, and people in far-flung communities, rural communities, are not exposed. So we need to teach them how to use digital things. And also through our connect and quench boreholes, we bring essential things like water, but monitoring it via digital means to make sure the borehole's working, there's issues, we know when to fix it. And to turn it on and off, we have all that through digital.
Stephen Blewitt as the chief executive of MTN Ghana. The Veterinary Service Directorate is calling on government to fast-track the review of Disease Animal Act 1961. According to Greater Accra Regional Veterinary Director Dr. Joseph Kofi Abu, stakeholders along the animal production value chain since 2010 have been requesting an update of the Act to clearly define their roles to prevent the recurrent overlap of their duties. He was speaking at a launch of the World Food Safety Month ahead of the World Food Safety Day celebrated on June 7th.
We have the Disease of Animal Act, that is 1961. It is really old and outdated, and we are working very hard to update it. It has been long overdue. It has gone and came back due to some technicalities. So since 2010, we decided to review it. It has been on and off, but as we are speaking, the draft is with the Attorney General, and we want them to speed it up so that it can go to Parliament for them to pass it. We have FDA, we have veterinary services, and our rules and mandate overlap. And we think that the Animal Health Bill will come and straighten up so that everybody will do just what is supposed to do.
You heard Greater Accra Regional Veterinary Director Dr. Joseph Kofi Abu. And that's all for Business News on Newsnight with me, James Ishin.
Ajib, thank you very much. And Ms. Bao is here with sports.
Yeah, Evans, just some update from the FIFA Under 20 Women's World Cup, which Ghana has qualified for. And the group pairings is out, and Ghana has been drawn in Group E alongside New Zealand, Japan and Austria. Now, Japan won their first title in 2018 edition, beating Spain in the final. And for New Zealand, their best finish at this level was in the quarterfinals in 2018. And for Austria, they will be competing in the competition for the very, very first time. Now, Ghana has not has failed to go past the group stage in their six previous attempts, and we'll be hoping that they can go past the group stage this time round in the competition that will be hosted in Colombia between August 31st to September 22nd. Now, to the Black Stars, because they've got a game tomorrow against Mali, crucial World Cup qualifier. Now, they'll be facing Central African Republic on June 10th. For Central African Republic, they played their third game today, defeating Chad 1-0. And that means that they've gone third in the group standings, leaving the Black Stars fifth in the standings. And they will have to defeat Mali tomorrow in Bamako. And ahead of that, forward Anton Semenyo is positive.
Oh, always feel good. I think we're ready to take the challenge, ready to get two wins. I think we've got a good team, like I said. So yeah, we just need to win at the end of the day. So we're going to train hard this week and then win the first game and hopefully the second. I mean, it's in the past now. I think the manager's come in. We've got a new job, a new plan, and we just want to win games. So we're trusting what the manager can do. We've got a good team. So yeah, it's just trusting the process. And you know, hopefully we get qualified for the AFCON again, World Cup, and we can show you what we can do.
Black Stars forward there. Now, yeah, that's basically it. The game is going to be 7 p.m. tomorrow, so we'll see how they fare.
Okay. Wish them all the best. And that's it for sports there. And a few more of your messages now on our WhatsApp console, still on the prices of foodstuff, which have been going up on the market. And this is from Nana Prempe. He says the prices of commodities have never come down since time immemorial, but the rate at which it is hiked is wobbling. Kofi says your Greek minister all over the place buying hotels instead of working for the ministry. What do you expect? And the final one on the subject of the contracts controversy in Parliament. Musa says the MPP government's failure to secure parliamentary approval for critical contracts such as SML and the 5G rollout is a clear dereliction of duty and the breach of public trust. These contracts, which carry significant national implications, should have undergone thorough legislative scrutiny to ensure transparency and accountability. Well, it's now time for fact-checking, and today we are focusing on some recent claims made by former minority leader and Tamale South MP Harun Edrisu on the debt situation in the country. Head of our research desk, Raymond Akwa, has more on the claims and the verdicts in this report.
Harun Edrisu is a record to have said that the MPP has borrowed some 600 million and also insinuated that the NDC also did borrow some 120 billion.
You cannot borrow 600 billion against 120 billion and say you are doing well. They describe 120 billion as colossal. So today, get me a word. Maybe gargantuan, they borrowed in a gargantuan manner.
Now, first and foremost, the suggestion that because public debt was 120 billion at the end of 2016, this means the NDC borrowed that amount is false. According to data from the Ministry of Finance's stock of public debt sheet for 2008, the NDC inherited a debt stock of 9.75 billion. This means the total debt increased by some 110.55 billion under the NDC from 2008 to 2016. The former minister misconstrued total public debt under a government as the same as the amount borrowed by the government. Again, again, it's not so true that the MPP borrowed 600 billion anyway. This is because the MPP inherited a debt stock of 120.3 billion. And since the current data from the Bank of Ghana 2024 May summary of economic and financial data suggests that Ghana's debt in February 2024 was 658.6 billion, one can only say that the debt stock has increased by some 538.3 billion under the MPP so far and not 600 billion. Now, also, the other factors like the depreciation of the cedi that results in the increase of Ghana's debt stock at any point in time. For example, when public debt increased from 351 billion in 2021 to 435 billion at the end of December 2022, representing 23.7%, the depreciation of the cedi alone accounted for 67 billion of the increase in the debt stock, which is equivalent to 80.5%.
Raymond Akwa with Fact Checking. And this is your election headquarters. An election headquarters is always brought to you by Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity, SIMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, and AICPA and SIMA together as Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, the German Ozo Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty, Jobbox Technologies, a convenient service, and Youth Bridge Foundation. Tonight, the Electoral Commission is warning political party agents they will be thrown out of vote transfer centres if they misbehave barely 24 hours after the Commission rescinded its decision to ban agents from the centres. The main opposition NDC had protested against the ban. The Deputy General Secretary of the NDC, Mustafa Gbande, welcomes the decision to allow party agents at the centres but questions the EC's commitment to remain transparent.
Have not done anything extraordinary. What is appropriate under the circumstance of the exercise to allow for more transparency that will end into a credible exercise? It's what the NDC advocated for. The EC knew that as we speak, this is the first time in the history of our country where we are doing registration. And again, at the same time, we have issues of missing equipment of the Electoral Commission. So therefore, it is automatic that mistrust will increase. If you want to test the hypocrisy of the MPP, tomorrow you will see whether they will send their agents there or they will not.
Well, the EC has warned it to be compelled to reverse its decision if it is abused. Listen to the Deputy Commissioner in charge of operations, Samuel Tete.
Political party agents do not have any right or authority under the law to prevent a voter who wants to transfer his or her vote under Regulation 22 of CI 127. The political parties are well aware that one can object to a voter's eligibility on the grounds of residency during the voter's exhibition exercise and not during the transfer of votes exercise.
Well, we can now also hear from the Director of Electoral Services at the EC, Dr. Siribo Kwoku, who says party agents will be thrown out if they misbehave at the centres. He spoke to my colleague, Blaise Soga.
Meeting on Monday, and the request was stated that they would think we should allow them to be there. So the commission told them that we were going to have a look at it and ponder over it. Then after further reflection, we think that their presence will help in ensuring that people accept whatever comes up, and it also add to the transparency aspect. So we told them that they should come back, but the condition is that anybody who comes there to misbehave will be taken away from the place.
Okay. So now what will be the expectation? Are they to monitor, to challenge immediately, or what ground rules are you setting for that?
There is no criteria for challenging. So you only observe. If somebody comes and you think you can inform our officer that this one, you think, but not in a violent way. If the person insists, we'll go ahead and interview the person based on the conviction of the return officer, the person will be accepted or rejected.
So you
can't challenge. Now, the law is that if the transfer is done and you have grievances or you have suspicion that somebody didn't qualify you there, then you will do the exhibition. Then you go and object to that name in that register that the person is not a resident there. Then the procedure is that there's a registration review officer who is a magistrate who will meet the two parties each of them would tell their story, then the DRO would give a decision.
So which means that the parties don't have any power to stop anyone who is carrying
not at all.
Is that really? Based on that, the opposition NDC says they still have a challenge. They feel that there's more room for improvement in terms of improving your transparency. They feel that you lack transparency in all of the processes leading to the 2024 general elections. How do you respond to that?
You know, each of the activities that we are doing, they are part of it. Registration, they were there as agent. When the challenges came and the review committee was sitting, they were part of the committee that sat on it and then they're adjudicating. Right now, we have formed the adjudication review committee, which will look at the suspected multipolis, and they are part of it. So in everything that we are doing, they are part of it. So I don't know how they want to explain the transparency when they are part of the system. So we have nothing to hide. That's why in everything, we include all the political parties.
I want us to wrap up by talking about what's next for the Electoral Commission after this phase of the transfer of votes. What would happen? What's your expectation on the political parties? And what do you also say to the concerns, for instance, by the Coalition of Domestic Election Observers who have earlier raised some concerns about this transfer process?
I don't know. What I know is that they are rather supporting our standard. We should not allow the party agents to be there. But other than that, I've not heard of any other view. Then with respect to what is ahead of it after this, from this we'll go to the compilation of the special voting for the media, the security services and the commission.
And that there is a director of electoral services at the EC, Dr. Sribo Kweku. And that's it for Newsnight tonight. But you want to stay with us here on Joy 99.7 FM, because we have a conversation coming up next. And I have the imposing figure of Benimoy Nimado, who
imposing.
Has been mesmerizing me. Imposing because, as I've told you already,
you
look smashing tonight.
Thank you.
You want to just log on to our Facebook page, right? I see what I'm talking about. This conversation I see behind you is going to be riveting.
It is. Do you remember that there was a study, I think it was last year, last 2 years,